Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I'm going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. These words of Jesus are so integral to his gospel that they're some of the last words he gives to us. I was at a Mass with Bishop Rhodes this week, and I learned what valedictory means. It means goodbye, essentially, a farewell. Valet, farewell, and dictory, speech. The goodbye, the farewell speech. In the gospel, we have Jesus' farewell speech of sorts. And in that, in the heart of it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Then after Jesus rises from the dead, a few days later, the first words he says to his apostles are, "Peace be with you." The apostles are causing too big of an uproar, so he has to say again, "Peace be with you." The heart of what he wants his apostles to know is that he wants to bring them peace. By his death and by his resurrection, he reconciles us to the Father and brings us that peace. So integral is this to the gospel that it's the first words Pope Leo said, "Peace be with you." There's one other time Jesus speaks about peace I want to bring up tonight. Way back in Jesus' ministry, he says words a little striking. He says, "I did not come to bring peace." Direct quote. Jesus says in the full quote, "I did not come to bring peace, but the sword. Do not suppose that it came to bring peace." Jesus is being very clear here. There are two different kinds of peace. In the gospel, if you listen a little more clearly, it says, "My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives it, do I give it to you." There's the peace of the world and the peace of Christ. And they are quite different. The peace of the world, to put it lightly, is suburbia. Everything is taken care of. No conflict, no strife, I'm comfortable, I have the next meal taken care of, roof over my head, and we're just fine. That's not wrong, that's not a sin. What is wrong is when that's the peace I live for and the peace I depend on. When my life is more about that peace and throw Jesus on top of that, versus my life is for Jesus Christ, and that just happens to be my situation. There's a vast difference between the two. When we're depending on the peace of the world, depending on, this is where I find my happiness. Just like the Roman peace, the Pax Romani, that the Roman Empire spread so far that we had a relative peace. No conflict, everything is taken care of, there's trade everywhere. But it fell apart. The peace of Rome, the peace of the world, the peace of suburbia. It's not evil in itself until we start to rely on it. When that becomes the peace we long for, it's going to fall apart. There is no hope, no sturdiness in that. And when we live for that, for just the next level of housing, the next level of salary, it's shaky ground, and we will constantly be insecure. But the Lord wants the peace of Christ for us. The peace that when we find trials, when we find our ground shaking, we find sturdiness in Christ. Of course, he wants to be taken care of, but when the ground comes shaky, when our peace is in the Lord himself, we find a sturdiness, a solid ground in him alone. The second chapter of the letter to Ephesians says, Christ himself is our peace. If we try to find our peace in something, anything besides him, Jesus' love for us actually looks like the sword. And Jesus will come in and pierce our hearts, pierce our lives, and intentionally shake us up so that we are not comfortable. Jesus loving us actually looks like him shaking us up to become uncomfortable and to look for him for our peace rather than whatever else that might be. He wants our peace far more than we do, but his peace, which is far, far greater, far more deep. This peace isn't just about our own mental health, not just about me. This peace is defense. That the enemy's first tactic to us is to get us to fall into sin, but his second tactic is always to get us to lose our peace. Because if he can get us to do that, he has a foot in the door. But it's also offense. If we have that peace of Christ, it's not just about our own soul, our own well-being. One saint said, if we have the peace of Christ, 1,000 souls will follow after us to Christ. For love of God and for love of our neighbor, we have to ask for that peace. The last thing, how do we get it? How do we get that real peace of Christ that is actually real instead of the fake peace of the world? We can't. There is actually nothing we can really do, nothing we can grasp after, but only opening our hands to ask for it. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We can't make it happen. We can't earn it. It's only by asking for the Holy Spirit that he gives it to us. So our spiritual exercise for the next 2 weeks is incredibly practical. Ask for the Holy Spirit and his peace. Next Sunday, we celebrate the Ascension when our Lord returns to heaven. And 2 Sundays after today, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit comes and gives his gifts, including the fruit of peace. It sounds too easy. It sounds basic even. But the most practical thing we can do is just ask the Holy Spirit to come. In that is our greatest peace.